Hey, you. Yeah, you. I'm Crispy.
I'm Zap.
Are you a parent?
Are you a nerd?
Do you need a new group of friends?
Well, we got new episodes every week.
And you get to participate in all of our game segments. Our show, Super Dad Bros, is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Check us out on your drive to work.
In the shower.
Anytime. We're going to be there for you.
We are Super Dad Bros.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to the Toasted Marshmallow Adventures Podcast. Tonight, via Zoom, we have internationally touring comedian and TikTok star, Tanya Lee Davis,
hey,
with us.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for being here tonight.
We already have two messages.
Oh, do we? About
yes,
this?
Yes.
We're already getting questions
yes,
about you.
Okay. We are.
Wow, look what you
do. This is amazing. Wow.
Awesome.
James
I'm
Buxton,
scared to wonder
I am
what
new here.
Already.
Crystal Ruiz, hey, I'm watching both from Facebook and TikTok.
Awesome. Thank yeah. you all so
Hello
much
from
for
Montana.
Joining us. Wow. Cool.
Come on in, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. These are like your people
These
here.
Are
just
your
join
people.
Them.
We have 2.9 million followers.
I saw
so.
That.
Wow. So
Holy
it's increased
crap.
From the last number I heard. Think
yeah, about. Well, and I just the last 2 weeks I haven't even really been on live because we moved. We had to get out of our rental house. So it's just been just crazy the last two
oh,
weeks.
Yeah.
So I only started going live again the last 3 days. And then, you know, so we're on the just the we're about 35,000 away from 3 million.
Wow.
Wow. That
Did you get
cool.
on TikTok at the beginning? Did you know it was a thing?
It was a pandemic thing. That's
okay.
what, you know. I was in the UK living in Norwich, England, when the global pandemic happened, and I lost all my shows. I couldn't pay the bills, the rent. Luckily, being American, because I'm Canadian originally, was able to come back. Ended up having to move in with my parents, though. My dad and my
wow.
stepmom, my fiance, and I had nowhere to go. We packed up two suitcases and ended up in Florida. And my friend, when I was in the UK, I was doing videos trying to like on Facebook doing 80 songs and just trying to inspire and motivate people to keep moving because I knew my mental health was gonna you know
plummet
go down the crap
yeah.
if I didn't you know during a lockdown
right.
so I kept getting copyright infringements. So my friend said, why don't you try TikTok? Well, I had no idea what it was. And at first I tried it, I put it aside and I didn't. It wasn't until we got settled in Florida, September of 2020, I did a video about the Villages, which is the largest retirement community in Florida. And that video went viral. I got over a million views in 24 hours. And I was like, I'm onto something.
Wow.
And
yeah.
here we are.
Amazing.
Wow. That is awesome.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have
cool.
like three or four ridiculous things on TikTok and that is it.
Yeah. We're not good at TikTok.
No. But you have somehow figured it out.
Yeah.
Well, you got to find your niche, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm lucky being a dwarf little person. I got the curiosity factor.
Yes.
But I'm not a TikTok comedian. I'm a international comedian
right.
of 30 years before, you know, I got on the social media craze. So I'm good at what I do. Plus, I, you know, I answer people's questions like, how do you wipe your ass? I did three videos
wow.
on that. Because inquiring
These are
minds
questions?
Want to know. Yeah, well, I've got T-Rex arms and I got a long body trunk, right? So everybody's curious on how I wipe my chocolate highway. And I did a video about it, but apparently it caused quite the controversy. And a lot of people did not believe that my technique with I have a stick that I've designed and I wad up the toilet paper and I shove it between the legs and I scoot. And people were like, nope, that could possibly never work. You know, apparently your mud whistle is not clean. And I'm like, no, wow. Trust me. You know, I've been doing this for 45 plus years.
Oh, God.
You know.
Mud whistle. I feel like that's a new one for me. Mud whistle.
Mud whistle, yeah. That's a great one.
Rusty starfish, ham pocket. I got them all.
Oh, geez.
That's hilarious.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being here tonight. Have you been to Boise, Idaho before?
I have never been to Boise, Idaho.
First time.
Had a few hoes in my time.
A few hoes.
The lounge is amazing. You're going to love it. The people are fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So you've never met Jen.
No. So I'm at the lounge at the end of the universe, everybody.
Yeah.
Anywhere near Boise, my TikTok people. Yeah. No, I'm very excited. I've looked at the videos that they post on their Facebook page. The venue looks really cool. They've got some great acts coming through.
Gosh,
so
yeah.
I'm very honored to be able to get to be part of the roster.
Jen Adams, one of the owners, is amazing. And just recently got Bert Kreischer in there when he was on tour. Yeah, he came to the open mic. So, it's a pretty...
Just last Saturday that happened.
When I did my one episode on Last Comic Standing, it was the episode that John Heffron and Bert Kreischer, it was in Nashville, and I was on the show with them that night, and they were the only two that got moved on to the sort of the next level, but I got to perform on stage with them that night, and it was televised, so I was in the one episode with them, but yeah. Pretty cool.
It's the
last time I've seen
them. Wow, that's cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we went to a show here, and the cool thing about it is one of the local comedians,
Jack Wheeler,
ran into him at breakfast. Came up to him, say, hey, I'm such a big fan. I'm a local comedian. I've been doing it for 8 months.
8 months.
He got to go up and do 3 to 5 minutes at the show that night. And yeah, he's like the talk of the town right now.
Yes.
Yeah. We had him on our podcast last night.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Really cool.
Yeah, so he's a cool guy.
I like helping out new acts in new places as well. You know, I think everybody needs a shot. You know, and I think it's important for new comedians to perform in different places. Perform in laundromats, perform in restaurants, sports bars, nightclubs, strip clubs. You know, you got to perform as a comedian. If you put yourself in non-traditional comedy club settings, it's going to make you a better comedian.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
definitely. And listening, I found something you did today. Speaking of that, you did a gig at a swingers club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes, in Las Vegas.
That was more than a gig, right? It was weeks?
Yeah, so what we did, it was always, a comedian from LA, we set up this show at the Green Door, which is the adult swingers club in Las Vegas, and being a dwarf at a swingers club is like being a prized pig at a country fair.
Of course, that's a thing, yeah.
Very popular. So we did a comedy show, and you would perform on a round stage that had a pole in the middle of it. So I stood on my chair holding on to the pole, and we had people on all these little loungers with beads, and it just looked like a porn set, basically, watching this comedy show. And, you know, of course, it's very laid back. People are heckling and stuff like that. Well, then after the show, because my friends at the time owned it, I was giving everybody a tour. Anybody that came to the comedy show got to stay and get a tour of the famous Green Door. It's two levels and it's massive. So I was going around, you know, they have a golden shower room, they have an S&M. So I'm going around, get a Disney tour of Green Door, right? And of course, there's people that were heckling during my show that are now having sex. So then I started heckling them.
Oh, nice.
You know, you're not doing Come on, yeah. Harder.
You know, you call that thrusting?
Yeah. How do you like it? So there we go. Payback's a bitch.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's awesome.
Wow. So was that a regular gig for a while then? Or did you just do it once?
We did it like once a year. Yeah, oh, pretty much. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Wow, that's cool. So what are we? So you are, is it 3 foot three or
six.
3 foot six?
I read six.
I'm thinking pretty soon I'm just going to be a head on an ass. At my tallest, I was 3 foot eight. Then some of my bios say 3 foot six, and now I'm at 3 foot three because of my osteoarthritis. I'm literally just, you know, I'm shrinking. My ass is going out that way, and I'm just shrinking. So it's getting old, getting fun.
Oh my God. I think I saw some stuff on Instagram earlier for the Austin Powers thing. You were
the teaser?
Okay, yeah. Vern Troyer was dressed as Austin Powers. Is that correct? And you were dressed as
a go-go dancer.
A go-go dancer, yes.
So Austin Powers, Goldmember, the movie, right? Or no, if you remember the opening sequence to the original Austin Powers movie is Austin running through the streets, getting chased by all the hot go-go dancers. Well, for Goldmember, for the teaser, which is a clip that comes out in movie theater 6 months before the movie, that's what a teaser is. It's like coming this summer. And they recreated the opening sequence to Austin Powers. They redid it with all little people. So Vern Troyer played Austin me. And I was one of the go-go dancers. And so we had a bunch of, you know, the problem is they had a bunch of running scenes. And because I was one of the shortest dwarves, you know, they would try to put me ahead of the gang and I'd be running my fastest and I'd just get plowed over by dwarves, you know. So they were like, okay, you're not in this scene.
Dwarves are not great.
And yeah.
Did you just hit him?
You're an abusive dwarf. Yeah.
How do you get a gig like that? Is there a call out to dwarves everywhere? Or
yeah, well, at the time I lived in Los Angeles. Okay. And yeah, there was basically every agency in LA was like, all right, here we go.
Wow.
And I was just happy to play a human because I did live in LA, the only auditions I seemed to go out on were for, like, you know, a blueberry for an IHOP commercial.
Oh, geez.
An egg. You know, I was all these inanimate objects. Yeah. And now I was like, I'm an actual person. So I had a really cute go-go dance outfit, a little blonde hot wig. I was stunning.
Nice. That's awesome. So, and then you are, I saw a picture of you too with Matt Roloff from Little People, Big World.
Little People, Big World.
From what I understand, you knew him long before the show, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I met the Roloffs many years ago. I mean, I started going to the Little People conventions in like 1998, I think was my first one. And because Matt and I have the same type of dwarfism, when you go to a Little People convention, each type of dwarfism, and there's well over 400, but the main, let's say top eight had their own like little group meeting during the 7 days. So all the diastrophic dwarves would meet up, and because diastrophic dwarves, we all have average size parents. At the Little People convention, obviously we'll have brand new parents that are tall that have now this dwarf baby that they're like, we don't know what we're gonna do. And then they come to our diastrophic, you know, little meetup, and they see that I'm a professional comedian. They see people that are architects and doctors,
awesome.
And, you know, people in these, and we show, you know, we trade secrets on, you know, how do you wipe your ass, or how do you, you know, I have a stick that I use to put my socks on, and, you know, where do you get your shoes? How do you do this? How do you do that? And it's a way of educating and giving peace of mind to, you know, parents of dwarves and stuff. Anyway, so Matt and I met during a Little People convention, and then he became the president of the LPA at one point. And then because he was the mouthpiece for the LPA, he can then work, you know, with the networks. And then all of a sudden he's got a show.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
So do you use his product that he sells?
Well, I don't actually. I don't have one.
Holy crap!
He's got them in hotels and stuff. There's like step stools and a hook thing, and I don't know. Matt, get on.
I know what.
Yeah,
you're friends, right?
So I heard, and I think I heard Brad Williams say this before, that the little people conventions, everyone's just banging it out all weekend.
Oh, well, there's a lot of dwarf on dwarf action.
That's what we assume. Dwarf on
whatever action. Well, unfortunately, I've always been, because I'm the only little person in my family. I was the only little person growing up. I went to high school with another dwarf, but we got put together for everything. You're roughly the same height. So it drove me crazy because I'm used to seeing, you know, assholes and butts everywhere. Mm-hmm. But now I've got a pair of eyes staring at me and I'm just like, whoa. Anyway, going to the little people convention, I never wanted to go to them because I kept being told you need to be with your own kind. Oh, wow. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense to me. So it wasn't until I was married to my first husband and we ended up going to a little people convention. And I was just like, wow, not everybody is as outgoing and as me. And right. A lot of the people feel like this is their one chance, like the one week of the year.
Oh, wow.
DwarfCon is what we call it, DwarfCon. And yeah, this is their chance to get it on like Donkey Kong. And you know, next year you see them pushing baby strollers and you're like, oh, convention baby.
Jeez. Oh my god,
that's funny.
So you're Showtime at the Apollo.
Hilarious.
Oh yeah,
it's actually not Showtime at the
Apollo. No, it wasn't Showtime.
It wasn't the American version. This is what people, there's Showtime at the Apollo. There's the American version, like the New York Apollo. But my show is Live at the Apollo, which is a series in the UK. It's basically the biggest stand-up show you could possibly do.
2.6 million views.
It was in front of 4,000 people, so that was my biggest audience to date.
Never let your eye doctor cut up your cocaine. That is what I was left with.
Every line starts off really big and gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when
not
did you know
gets that joke? Wendy,
it's crazy. When did you know you wanted to be a comedian? Was it early on? I mean, it must have been. You're 51, doing it for 30 plus.
Well, I grew up in Canada. And so my parents got divorced when I was quite young. So parenting in the 70s was plunking your kid in front of the idiot box, right? The TV.
Yeah.
So I grew up watching American sitcoms. And also because of growing up in Canada, we had a lot of British influence. So I watched, you know, Laurel and Hardy and Danny Kaye movies. And then, of course, Carol Burnett, Lucille Ball, Steve Martin, Robin Williams was like my... Yeah. But I didn't know that stand-up comedy was a thing. I grew up wanting to be an actress, because I was the center of attention, because I was literally the only dwarf of the village sort of thing.
Only child?
Pardon me?
Were you an only child as well?
No, I have a younger sister. Oh, okay. She's 5 and a half younger. Yeah, okay. She's tall. She got the height. I got the tits in the ass. I win. So I was the only dwarf and I was always the center of attention. And I knew that my sense of humor would always diffuse the situation. So I really grew up wanting to be an actress, not a comedian per se. And it wasn't until I started doing children's theater and I met a guy in the production and he took me to a comedy club and he was terrible. He was crap. But I, for whatever reason, I instinctively knew what he was doing wrong.
Wow.
So he was like, you think you can do this? And I was like, yeah. And boom, January 23rd, 1990, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. That's where it all began.
Wow.
Wow, that's cool. And so now I think I heard this story on, I was listening to a podcast you were on, and apparently this person, you were in kind of an act with them or something, but they dropped you 3 months later because you were doing better than them.
Oh, yeah. Because that was the guy that got me started in comedy, because I was doing children's theater originally, and there was only two adults in the production, myself, and I was the lead. I was Perry the Penguin, and typecasting at its finest.
Yes.
And the guy that played the villain was the guy that I ended up dating, because he had a thing for penguins.
Yeah.
And So after I saw how terrible he was on stage, and he was like, got all cocky, you think you can do this? And I was like, yeah. Well, 3 months into it, I was already getting paid, and 4 months into it, he dumped me, and he couldn't clearly handle the competition. But it turns out he started dating a seal.
Wow. Sheesh. Interspecies dating.
Yeah,
definitely. So I, let's see. So you were on Dave Attell's Insomniac tour.
God, we just met Dave Attell.
Yeah.
In Salt Lake City.
Last month. We went to a show at Wise Guys and got to meet him afterwards and take a picture, you know. So it's pretty cool. We have our autographed poster over there.
Right over here.
That we need to actually frame.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy. It's funny because I was just in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I wasn't performing. I went to go visit a friend of mine who I happened to be just staying 30 minutes away. And Dale Jones is a very funny comedian. He was performing at the Comedy Cabana. And I hadn't been there in years. And the last time I was at the Comedy Cabana was probably in the early 2000s, if not the late 90s, and Dave Attell was recording an episode of his Insomniac show.
Oh, wow.
And I think I went there to go see Doug Stanhope, but Dave Attell showed up and was doing his special. So at one point, Dave, before the show comes up, and he goes, listen, I want you to heckle me. And I'm like, what? He goes, I want you to storm the stage. And I'm like, are you shitting me? And he's like, no, I'm going to do this bit. I'll give you a cue. And he goes, I want you to come yelling.
Oh my God.
Up on stage. The thing is I wasn't mic'd or anything. So when the episode aired, you can literally see like the top of my head. That's it. And you can hear like a murmur, murmur, oh, and him going, what? And so it, you know, but then cut to 2-3 years later, he phones me up and he said, listen, I'm doing my show in Las Vegas and I want you to be part of it. I want to recreate that thing. We're going to make it bigger and better. It's going to be over a weekend. And it was bad. We had a blast.
Awesome.
And,
yeah,
a lot of fun. He's a great guy.
That is amazing. I would love to have memories like that. That's amazing. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That is really cool. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that was a great weekend of comedy. We saw Dave Attell, Ian Fidance, which I'm wearing a shirt right now, actually.
Ari.
And then the next night was Ari Shaffir and friends. So we saw Ari Shaffir. We saw Mark Norman. We saw Sean Patton. We saw Ryan O'Neill.
Doug Stanhope, though.
No, we haven't seen him live. No.
Oh, he's amazing. Yeah, he's I haven't seen Doug in years. I think probably three times I saw Doug was in the UK. He's got quite a big profile over there. But he puts on a phenomenal
show. And you lived there, right? You lived in the UK?
Yeah, I've been touring in the UK for 20 years and I lived
So how in a did place that called how does North. That happen?
In 2003, I got contacted by a producer in New York who was putting an ensemble show together called the U.S. Comedy Invasion to take a show over to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is the biggest fringe festival in the world.
Yes.
And I had already known about it. I have friends in Australia and friends in the U.K., comedian friends that had already done the festival. And I'd always sort of thought that would be an amazing opportunity. And here all of a sudden it was presented. You had to pay your own way. And, you know, but the way I looked at it, it was an investment in my career. I was going to go. I was one of 13 people. I was going to go there and just give it the best I got because it's an international platform. Well, I was the only person of the 13 of us that got picked up by a UK agent.
Wow.
So I started touring in the UK in 2004 and I became part of another ensemble show in 2005 called Abnormally Funny People.
Saw that.
I've been touring with them for years. It's a bunch of disabled people with one non-disabled person because he was our token non-disabled.
Right.
It was a great show. And I just then it just everything got snowballed in the UK and I was able to get John Bishop is an amazing comedian over there. He's from Liverpool and he's a huge star.
I saw that and I was like, who is this man? I'm so glad you said that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's gorgeous. Anyway, I've got a huge crush.
Sorry, Kevin.
Anyway, he got his own TV show, and he picked me to be on it. So that was my first official stand-up TV show in the UK. And then from that, I got picked to do Live at the Apollo, which is like,
huge.
The biggest show you do. So, yeah. And then I've done lots of stuff since.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
We always love when we're looking someone up if they have a lot of shit online.
Yes, and you do. Yay. Yeah.
A resource.
I was like, I don't even know where to start, honestly, because there is so much. We could just go on forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was trying to show Chris because we were looking at stuff independently, but I don't even know where I saw this, but which C word do you actually prefer? Would you actually prefer to be called? I feel like I know. It's a cunt, right?
Right. Absolutely. I know. For those that don't know, I travel internationally a lot, and people over there use the C word. Yes. You know, in Australia, in the UK, it's a lot more common over there. Yeah. And of course, I'm a woman. Plus, I'm a 51-year-old woman, you know, so the C word, no 51-year-old woman wants to be called cute, you know. Yes. What a bunch of cunts. Yeah,
yes. That was the part where I died.
Oh my god.
That is so good. That's so good.
Yeah. So I was looking around. Now, do you have a special out anywhere? I don't think I found one.
No, I don't. Oh. But I may have something in the works.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have it's actually a British film crew that is on their final stages of funding to come over and film basically a documentary on my life as a comedian.
Oh, cool.
And in conjunction with that, I am going to be basically recording my current stand-up special, Tanya Lee Unstoppable Me, because right now I feel like it is my best work in 32 years. You know, it's all come down to this, and I'm super happy with my show.
Oh, awesome.
Yes. Yeah, that'll be cool when that comes
out. So will Boise see that, bits of that, or the whole thing?
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, I mean, my comedy is my life story. So every show, I mean, I have a framework, but every show has different stories.
Yeah.
Read it throughout. So if you come to a different show, yes, you'll hear the same stuff, but it's all golden. But then you'll also hear different stories that you may or may not have heard before.
Right.
So, always something different.
Who inspires you comedically?
Well, I was a big Robin Williams fan.
Okay.
I mean, you know, just his physicality, you know, I loved that. And because I'm 3'3" and, you know, I'm like, perform in very big rooms, and I'm very limited because I sit on my step stool now because of my you know, my health issues and stuff, but I make the most of my, you know, gestures and physicality on stage, and you know, I act out my bits, so it's very theatrical for the audience, and you know, that's what made Robin Williams so fantastic. Right, you just never knew what the hell was going to happen.
No, ever.
No. Nope.
Did you ever meet him? Did you say?
I never officially met him, but I used to live in Los Angeles, and I lived behind the Man's Chinese Theater. And when he got his hands and his footprints in the Chinese Walk of Fame, it was right after he did Patch Adams.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a morning person, but I got up and I zip on my scooter, I hauled ass down there, and he was just leaving, and the crowd had dispersed, and I literally gunned it between people on the bodies.
Get out of here.
I zipped right up to the railing, and I literally lunged myself up over, and I was like, ah! And he grabbed my hand, and he shook
me. No way.
And I was like, oh.
For real?
For real. So
oh my
he
God.
Touched me.
Wow.
That's what
oh,
I,
wow.
I didn't get to say I'm a comedian.
No.
I love you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh.
Well, who did we... Oh, it was Augie Smith that we talked to. Do you remember his Robin Williams story? Basically walked up to Robin Williams.
Yeah.
We saw him. He said, hi, I'm Augie Smith, and every time I see you, I'm going to tell you, hi, I'm Augie Smith. I think so. He just remember his name.
And so every time Robin saw him after in that day, he said, hi, Augie Smith.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. That's very clever. That's,
yeah, try it. Now, Kevin, can we have a
husband background?
Yeah.
Well, we see a shoulder.
Apparently, and he's not.
He matches you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's wearing an Atari t-shirt.
You have to match the pillows in your home because
We're actually currently homeless as of 2 days ago. Our landlords, who were fabulous, they were selling their house. They gave us two extensions, but we had to be out May 2nd, basically.
Oh,
so we turned in the keys, and now we're back where it all started, on my parents' porch.
Wow.
We're here basically until we go to Boise, and then we don't know what we're doing. We're literally just going wherever the universe right now.
Gosh.
The universe is taking us to the lounge at the end of the universe.
That's so, where it'll take you.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I mean, there's a couple shelters here.
God, you kill in a shelter.
Iowa the weekend after. So Des Moines, Iowa, at the beginning of June. So,
Boise.
Then after that point where it's a free-for-all.
Yeah.
So are you in Florida?
Yes, Florida. Yeah, central Florida. Shortest Florida shaped like a gigantic penis, and I live right in we're right in the shaft.
Right on the vein.
Living back with your parents, you say?
My dad and my stepmom.
Wow.
Yeah, we're up here, and it's weird being in your 50s moving in with your parents.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
A little bit like holy crap.
Yeah. So where do you want to go when you get a place then?
Well, originally we were going to move to Vegas. I used to live in Vegas, you know, like I said, and I love Vegas, and I have a couple of opportunities for my own potential venues in Vegas. But right now, some other family stuff. I just lost one of my best friends to pancreatic cancer who lived in Vegas, and him and I were supposed to do a show together, and we ended up losing faster than I expected just last month. And so that was really crappy. And then the night after I found out about him, I found out something, you know, one of my close family members here is quite sick. So we're just basically between Kevin's family is in North Carolina. My family's here. So, and my sister's in South Carolina. So right now we're just going to bebop between the three states and just
figure something out.
You know, when I'm not performing.
Yeah.
And just see how it goes.
Is that rough, you know, trying to be like upbeat, you know, I watched your famous shit story. So, I mean, that is like the lower level. But like if you're dealing with family stuff or life stuff and you have to go on, how do you just block it out? You just focus?
Well, I have a great example of how Dr. Stage, we call it as comedians, if you're sick or whatever, or you've had some sort of, I found out about 30 minutes before I had to go on stage, this is back in the early 90s, that my 16-year-old cousin, who I was very close to, got killed in a car crash.
Oh my God.
And then I had to go on stage.
Wow.
So basically, I was so pent up with emotion and stuff, I used that adrenaline on stage, you know, and Kevin can attest to this. I've been throwing up like so sick as a dog. And then I get my introduction. I get up on stage. I do my thing. Nobody can tell. And then I get off stage and then I'm like,
wow.
Yeah.
So it's just when you get on stage, something as a comedian, usually there's something
clicks.
That takes over. You just like the show must go on.
Wow.
At least for me.
Yeah.
Not easy.
Shit covered scrunchie and all.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing 3 shows straight from the hospital.
Yeah. It took me to 3 shows straight from the hospital.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, my God. And still performed.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
You know, I mean, I try not to cancel shows. I mean, I feel like I'm physically good, and also it's therapy for me.
Right.
You know, I got hit by a car, and when I lived in Los Angeles, I got run over. Like I was driving, I was coming home from the Hollywood Improv. I was crossing at an intersection. I was looking to my right, and a guy came out of nowhere. And just took me out. And luckily, I didn't see it coming. So I didn't brace myself. My scooter went under the front of the car. I landed on the hood, then the windshield. I got thrown 40 feet to the ground, and all I did was break my ass.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, so that was a tragic event, but basically, I'm lying on the ground, the paramedics show up, they're like, are you, you know, and I said, what the hell happened? And they said, the guy believes that you fell from the sky.
In my life.
Because he didn't see me until he hit me, and then I hit or landed on the windshield. So to him, it was raining dwarves in Los Angeles.
Yeah, my God.
Drop an ass first out of the sky.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So, and then you use that, right, in your comedy.
Yeah, that was in the act. I haven't talked about it in a long time on stage,
God,
but
that's
it's definitely
funny.
One of the stories.
Oh, my God.
You can't make that shit
no,
up.
No, you can't.
No, God.
Either the best stories or the ones that have actually happened.
Yeah, definitely. So is your energy just natural?
Yeah, because we don't. I feel like two of us combined don't have your energy.
Yeah. People ask me, well, I spend 2 to 6 hours a day on social media, like doing lives.
Yeah.
But what I normally do is just put music on. We were talking about this on TikTok earlier today, weren't we? I put on 80s music and I just sit here and I talk to people and I, you know, I've lost 25 pounds.
Just moving?
I sit here and I chair dance. As I'm talking to people and answering
questions. I'm into hand dancing.
I noticed that you look slimmer than some of your, like your Apollo video.
Nice.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was a chunky monkey. Yeah. So anyway, that, you know, that helps keep my energy up. And I'm a natural performer. That's where I am at home. And when I do stuff like this, you know,
she takes what?
It's about 15 vitamins a day.
Oh, I take 15
vitamins. Gotcha. Holy crap. I can't even take one. High five. Good for you. That's amazing.
Jeez.
Yeah, I can't commit to one.
Yeah, I know. Okay. What were you saying there?
No, that was it. Just about vitamins.
Okay. Oh, okay. Gotcha. What do we have next here? Oh, let me just look.
Do we have any questions from the audience?
If they were, they were coming in on Chris's side.
They were coming in, I think, at the beginning.
What is your hashtag, Unstoppable Me? Because that goes way back, right?
Yeah. Okay. So actually, Unstoppable Me is not that. It's only basically since I started on social media, like TikTok. You know, October of 2020. Because when I got on TikTok and talking to all these lovely people all over the world, and most of them are young people, and they always ask questions like, what are your biggest challenges? What can't you do? You know, and I'm like, why are we focusing on what I can't do when I'm a 51-year-old dwarf with a university degree who's been doing stand-up comedy, traveling around the world for 51 years, scuba diving, parasailing, horseback riding. I've done 2 TED Talks. Like, don't feel sorry for me because I have been living my life because I'm an unstoppable me.
Right.
And, you know, it's a mindset, and anybody can be an unstoppable me. And so I talk about this on stage with my stand-up because I think it's just so important to empower and inspire and motivate people, especially our younger generation now, because they're lost, you know?
Oh, my God. Yes, they are. They're lost.
Very lost.
If I can, with my life story and my attitude and my zest for life and my confidence, if I can inspire and motivate young people or anybody that needs a kick in the pants, then, you know, that's, I feel like this is my purpose. And we have 10 people now with their own version of this tattoo. This is my style, but we have 9 other people with their own version on their bodies of Unstoppable Me that believe that, you know, nothing can hold them back.
That's awesome.
You know?
Wow.
That's important.
No, you know, my size never held me back. So your gender, your weight, your race, your religion, your mental health status, your planetary affiliation, like, don't put yourself in a box.
Right.
Everybody can achieve their own personal greatness. So.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
So Eugene, who you're going to meet here.
Oh, yeah, at the lounge, because he's the MC of all the events there. And so you'll meet him. What did he say?
He said,
Eugene
Basham. Yeah. My baby mamas can't hold me back.
Oh, first he said, Unstoppable Me. Yes, that's awesome.
He said, my baby mamas can't hold me back. So I believe Eugene has 12 kids.
He has a lot of children.
And I believe his wife is pregnant with his 13th child.
We just went to a
Yes.
A baby shower.
Like a Monty Python episode.
Like, what we're saying is do not look him in the eyes.
Yeah, Eugene, they say you look him in the eyes, you get pregnant. Yeah.
It's a thing. Be careful.
Yeah, you get poked in the eye and get pregnant.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's an old wives' tale, but it seems
to. Yeah. Who knows? So where are you going after Boise?
Des Moines, Iowa, to the Funny Bone. My first time there as
well. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I hear it's a good place. People talk about it a lot. The Des Moines Funny Bone. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
one of my good friends, I call him my convention husband because he's a dwarf. Mm. And I usually only see him at the little people conventions, but we haven't been to one in a very long time. He's married to a tall girl. I'm married to a tall guy. So they came to see me in Las Vegas, or he came to see me in Las Vegas when I was headlining at the Tropicana. And they live about an hour away from Des Moines. So he just called me tonight to tell me him and his wife are going to come for the whole weekend to hang out with us at the Funny Bone. So is an absolute leader.
Yeah. Oh, that is awesome.
Two dwarves on scooters taking over.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to know what hit them.
Can you tell us what spasticus is? And I don't know if I'm saying it correctly.
Spasticus. Yes. Spasticus. Hidden camera show. Was a show that I did on Channel 4 in the UK. It was basically like a sketch show, but it was all handicapped, disabled people. And it was just basically different skits and sort of pranks. Okay. And all that kind of stuff. At one point, we had all these hidden cameras set up, and I'm on my scooter, and I pretend like my scooter's died, and I'm sitting there, and I get off, and you can just see there's cameras, like, hidden, and I'm out in the middle, like, on the sidewalk by a busy road, and I'm kind of, like, distressed, and all of a sudden, eventually, because they're British people, it takes them a while, came over and said, "Do you need some help?" And I was like, I just called somebody, and then in, like, 20 seconds, another dwarf in this little car that says, you know, recovery services or something pulls up behind me and comes up in front of me and hooks my scooter on and then tows me away. And he tows me to a garage so I can get my scooter looked at. And the guys are like, "What the hell?" And he's like, "My mate, this woman needs some help." There was another one where I was Snow White. And there was another dwarf guy playing a pimp. And he had me on a street corner. And he was like pimping me out.
Is there somewhere people can watch this now?
Well, you just Google I'm Spasticus, Channel 4. Yeah, there's different segments. There's another one where I am wearing a pink, I look like trailer park trash, you know, like a matching velour jumpsuit. And I, you know, with a wife beater and I got a cigarette and I'm pushing seven attached baby strollers and I'm walking down in the middle of the high street of Middlesbrough in the UK where there's thousands of people on a Saturday afternoon. There's a dwarf pushing seven dwarf baby carriages.
I love it.
And just getting people's reactions. And I was like, "What do you expect? We always have seven." You know, just getting people's reactions. They need a father. You know, just getting people's reactions.
That's hilarious.
I think that one's there's an episode of that online.
Oh my God, that's funny.
That is awesome. Now, just a question that came to mind right now. Are there like little people, like exclusive like clothing lines or?
Yeah, how do you get your clothes?
Well, each different type of dwarfism has their own physical characteristics.
Yeah.
So what works for one type of dwarfism doesn't necessarily work for the rest, like achondroplasia, which is Amy Roloff, Peter Dinklage. Mm-hmm. That's the most common type of dwarfism. Well, they tend to be quite tall. I mean, they're anywhere from 4 to 5 feet tall. Mm-hmm. My type of dwarfism, diastrophic, it's a recessive gene. We tend to be quite small. So clothes, you know, they have much longer legs, much longer arms.
Right.
I, diastrophic, my type of dwarfism, from shoulders to bum, I'm the same height as most women. It's only my arms and my legs. I got T-Rex arms and short legs. So where I wear women small in tops and in pants or trousers, because I got a gigantic booty, I just cut the legs off or I'll adjust the arms. But I don't, I mean, I guess there are some designers now that have started clothing lines for little people, but that doesn't mean that they're going to work for me,
right,
because yeah. my body type is way different than, you know, the standard, if you will, of dwarfism.
Yeah.
So instead, shoes are the worst. I mean, if there's anybody out there that, you know, getting shoes custom made is really expensive, but there was a company that my diastrophic dwarves friends found online over 10 years ago that were making Mary Jane style, but they made them down to size kids 11, but they made them extra wide. Mm-hmm. And I take 13 in kids double X wide. And I got three pairs.
Oh yeah.
And they've gone out of business. And
now
two pairs.
Lost.
I just lost a pair.
That hurts.
One of my bins fell off the truck. I had three bins of personal items when we moved from our house. Three bins.
And one fell off.
And one of them had my third pair of shoes in there. So
That's painful.
Anyway,
yeah.
Wrote it out to the universe.
Oh, yes. Geez. Yes.
Can we ask Kevin a question?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Can we see Kevin? I see
his camera shy.
But, can you want to lean in?
You can ask me. It might be dangerous.
Well, I just wanted to know from your point of view, what is it like being married to Tanya?
Or is it Tanya Lee?
Oh, Tanya.
It's Tanya Lee.
Tanya Lee. Oh, my God. I fucked up. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
What is it like being married to Tanya
Lee? That's a loaded question.
Well, there's so many things.
Yeah.
Tanya is one of the most amazing human beings I've ever met.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, she has a heart of gold and she tries to do everything she can for everybody.
Nice.
It's a very slow life because she walks a half step for every other human being.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I have to be a patient person.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
But no.
And I'm an asshole.
Oh, man. Okay.
But she's biased.
Romance is not dead.
She's the asshole I can deal with.
So how hard is it with her traveling? Do you ever go with her? See,
this is the difference. Him and I are completely opposite. I mean, I've been living the gypsy life, you know, for 32 years. Yeah. And I fell in love with him. We have a great love story. We met online in 1996. And he's from North Carolina, and he was a single dad, you know, raising his son, had roots, you know, a hard mm-hmm. labor job and everything. And I'm, you know, traveling around the world doing my thing.
Yeah.
And we are completely opposite. So he kind of keeps me grounded. That's why this whole homeless thing, he's not liking it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, she says we're not homeless, right? But see, I consider homeless when you have a key in your pocket, you can take out and turn it and open it and go in and sleep. In that
that's true. Yeah. Okay. Right? I can agree with that.
I'm in an uncompromised position right now.
Jeez, Kevin wants a home, Tanya Lee.
All right.
You're gonna pull a monkey.
You wanted a monkey. I'm like, you got me.
Nice to meet you, Kevin.
Yeah, it's good to meet you, Kevin. Thank you for your input and insight.
Come on. He doesn't like to be on camera normally.
Awesome. Okay. We love that.
I'm like, I'm not nervous. I'm just trying to set up the logistics so I got the right lighting.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a whole thing, right?
Oh, I've screwed up lighting guys, before.
You know, I have no idea what's happening on my chat here, but
I haven't been paying attention to ours much either. So,
we really want to meet you. Unfortunately, we're going to be out of town when
we're
you come.
Be in
so
California.
That's why we're jonesing so hard talking to you because, we have a family situation and we had to.
Yeah, yeah, I have an aunt really that important. Has terminal cancer, and so they're having a family get together there. Yeah. And so we have to go.
That's why I ended up in Vegas, sort of about 10 days before I was meant to go to Vegas, because my friend texted me on March 29th to say, I think I've got a week to live.
Oh, my God.
Like,
I'm coming now.
He lasted 12 days.
Wow. Good for you for going.
And my goodbyes.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm actually bummed we don't get to meet you in person. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be back.
Okay, good.
I really feel like you're going to kill at the lounge.
Yeah, the lounge is going to be awesome for you.
It's just an awesome place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We were there last night.
My dad said it's really pretty there, too, so I'm hoping we get to
drive away. Does your dad live here?
No, well, my dad's, he's probably going to bed already. He's you know, he's in the house.
Oh, yeah, he is there. Yeah, yeah. No, they're in Florida.
That's right,
yeah,
that's right.
Right, yeah, I'm on the porch, parents' house.
Yeah, so yeah, the lounge at the end of the universe, you're going to be there on...
Three times,
May 19th, 20th, and 21st.
Yes, woo! And you're doing two shows on...
The 20th?
The 20th, is
I
that correct?
7 and 9.
I have no idea.
That's
you
what
have
it no looks idea. Like.
Maybe.
I think.
We'll see, yes.
Get your tickets at loungeboise.com.
Loungeboise.com, yeah. Yes. Thank you so much for being on the podcast tonight.
I so wish we could meet.
Yeah.
Next time, you guys. Well, I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And I hope my TikTok followers follow these guys.
Thank
you. Marshmallow Adventures.
Yes.
And thank you, Kevin.
How often do you guys do your podcast?
A lot.
Yes.
A lot. Yeah.
At least a couple times a week.
Usually, yeah, we record two a week and they come out all the time.
We do
a
lot of the comedians that come into the lounge, which is so awesome. Yeah. We have some amazing talent coming through.
Yeah. We've had some.
Thank you so much for coming to Boise.
You.
Yeah. We're very excited.
We'll see you next time I come to Boise.
Yes, you will.
Thank you.
Have a great night.